Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, a spiritual relationship expert helping men and women heal their bodies, their relationships, and their lives through love, and author of the book Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, The Path to Physical, Emotional, Sexual, and Spiritual Reawakening. Find out more at DrEricaWellness.com or HealthyBabyBoomersNetwork.com, where we will have a blog posted of our speaker today, a question and answer blog. Today I have the privilege of interviewing one of my earliest trainers in the gentle, subtle, and powerful Rubenfeld Synergy method of talk and touch, Millie Greneau. After 8 years as a Catholic nun, Millie worked in various professions, teaching English to students from over 25 countries, waitressing, singing in Mexican restaurants, and running Sing It groups for people who thought they couldn't sing. Her interest in the relationship between body and mind led her to become certified in Gestalt therapy, then to train with the body-mind pioneer, Alana Rubenfeld, in Alana's second training group in the late 1970s. And then in 1992, Millie was one of only 10 people worldwide named Master Rubenfeld Synergists. She is EMDR Level 2 certified since 1994 with a specialty in performance enhancement and has studied with leading mindfulness teachers including Thich Nhat Hanh and Jon Kabat-Zinn. In 2010, the Connecticut chapter of the International Coach Federation named her Coach of the Year. And finally, after a near-death accident, Millie developed strategies to help herself live a saner, more balanced life, writing Oasis in the Overwhelm, 60-Second Strategies for Balance in a Busy World, and creating her Oasis training program. Coach, author of 10 books, motivational speaker, and clinical instructor in psychiatry at Yale University School of Medicine, Millie's passion is to help each person reach their full potential while remaining sane and healthy. So today, I'm absolutely delighted to welcome and introduce Millie Greneau.
Erica, it is so wonderful to be with you right now after all these years and all our experiences together and apart. I'm delighted to be with you right now.
Thank you so much. So now I'm going to jump right in with some really important questions. I'm beginning with a quote. Did you know that stress contributes to 80% of major illnesses, is a factor in 75% to 90% of visits to doctors' offices, and costs businesses as much as $300 billion a year? So, Millie, what do you think are the main causes of stress in people's lives today?
That's a big question that whenever I'm walking around and I see how fast-paced our culture is right now, it's no surprise to me that there is a greater level of stress. Since 9/11 in our own U.S. and in the world, that fear and that degree of background terror is certainly adding to our level of stress. And the things that were supposed to make us be more relaxed, have more free time, like cell phones, like Blackberries and everything, have not done that. They've almost increased our level of needing to be on all the time, you know. And we
The computer has certainly done that for me.
Oh, wow. It's never ending if we think we need to be on all the time. Sometimes I tease and think about that phrase 24/7. And my dad, mm-hmm. who's been gone a long time, never heard that expression. And I tease and think, what would my dad have thought of that? And he would have probably thought it was either something to get his old Chevy going in the morning or a laxative. You know,
That is funny because I remember a time way back when where most businesses were closed on Sunday.
Sure.
Including pharmacies. There was one pharmacy out of about 10.
Yeah, yeah. And people just keep, we keep going. And I say it's really a radical act if we even stop for a minute to be quiet, you know, without television, without cell phone. Even when I go in to get my oil changed or a doctor's visit, the TV's on, something
right.
is always cooking, you know. And
there's always something stressful on the TV, too.
Right, right, yeah.
So, along with what you've just said, do you think it's really possible to live without stress in today's world?
Well,
with all the media and the economy stuff and terrorism, etc.
Yeah, well, I love to play around with that because Hans Selye, who was one of the early researchers on stress physiology, really pointed out that stress is a normal and natural part of our lives. He asked, you know, when is the only time that humans are without stress? And it's when we're dead. And if anybody's teaching stress management and says the idea is to get rid of stress, I say don't do that unless you want to be in the cemetery, you know. So it's
right.
really how do I respond to the stressful situations in my life, and how much do I take on that I don't have to take on? You know, we do have choices about how we... I say that we're the CEO of our own lives. What do we take on? What emotional channel do I want to be on, even with all of this stress around me?
I love that expression, the CEO of our emotional lives. Can you maybe explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, well, like even this morning, I had three things that I wanted to do before you and I were going to talk. And I could feel myself going into the, oh, I got to get it done. I got to get it done. I have to rush. I was on, and I sometimes pretend I have like my channel changer in my hand. And I realized, okay, I was on the get up and hurry and do channel, which wasn't helping me at all. So when I took a breath and I thought, okay, I could stay there, it'll just make me more aggravated, make me more prone to run through red lights and get in an accident. So why not shift it to the, okay, isn't it wonderful that I'm alive and I have three things I want to do this morning? And even simply changing that makes a difference in my mind and body. Does that make sense to you, Erica?
Yeah, interesting perspective. And I could certainly relate to having several things to do before the phone call.
Right. Yeah.
So you wrote this wonderful book, Oasis in the Overwhelm. What led you to write this, and where did you get the ideas, the exercise? And it seems like such simplicity.
It is real simplicity, and being as hard-headed as I am, I think I was really in the fast lane doing all kinds of things, beginning a new job, just finished an internship, writing a book, and had just married for the first time and inherited three teenage stepsons, right? And I thought I thought I was handling it all quite well. And I went for a bike ride with my friend Joe, and I thought, oh, I have five things to do today. I can fit this in. And somehow on the bike ride, I still don't know what happened, but I must have hit a pothole and was thrown over the handlebars, knocked unconscious. And that was the beginning of my wake-up call to know, whoa, I better change how I'm living or else I might not stay alive. And it was recoup time, not in a rehab hospital, but in my backyard hammock, that I finally took time to kind of hang out with the big questions, like, who am I and what am I here on this earth for? And it was a really important time for me to be grateful that I knew I would live. I knew I was okay. And reflecting on all the wonderful things I had learned from other people in my life. And I thought, if I can only put this together somehow in short, non-cost strategies so that when I get back to work, I can do them and they can help me be grounded and balanced. So that's where Oasis 60-Second Strategies began.
And what's amazing to me is sometimes it takes such severity for us to slow down, because while we're in that fast pace, though we don't realize, and then
we don't
this
know.
Is such a common thing that people have some kind of really serious accident or illness that
yes.
changes their consciousness.
You have it. You have it. Mm. And especially when we're like ambitious, driven, good people.
Right.
I mean, so many people like us who we weren't taking care of ourselves, which is really the primary responsibility we have. It's not selfish. It's actually being ourselves so that we can be useful to the world, you know?
Absolutely. I have had several falls, accidents,
oh.
with being stressed, with too much on my mind, and I didn't see a big cement thing in front of me and went straight
right.
over it.
Yeah.
And all of that has forced me to slow down, pay attention to these body
yeah.
parts.
Yeah.
Get the treatments needed. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Yep.
So there's another concept that I've heard many times, but you happen to also mention it, neuroplasticity.
Right.
And what does it have to do with my brain or your brain or any of our listeners' brains?
You know, I'm so excited about this research that's coming out. In the last 10, 20 years, when I began doing my Oasis 60-Second Strategies, I knew that they worked, and I knew it wasn't simply, you know, like affirmations or whatever. I knew that they were making a radical difference in my life and in others. So it was in the mid-90s that I began reading some of the research on the new neuroscience, where with the help of the SPECT scans, all of the machines that weren't available before the late 80s, they could actually verify that we continue to make new neurons throughout our lives. Like I used to think, oh, my mother was the queen of worry, her mother was the queen of worry, it's genetic, right?
Right.
Wrong. It was a habit. And if I switch how I respond to things, I am actually beginning or feeding the non-worry wiring. I'm feeding the wiring that will help me be in life balanced. Dr. Miriam Diamond, who did research, Richard Davidson, it's like it's as simple as if we use it, it grows, and if we don't, it doesn't. And I sometimes will say the example, like if you go to the gym, Erica, and you simply
yeah.
lift weights with your left arm, those muscles will grow. The right ones won't. So similarly, on the emotional
right.
muscles, if I hang out on the worry channel or the anxiety channel and keep exercising that, that will grow. If I switch it to a different channel, that channel has a chance to grow and develop. And that's so exciting for people, whether they're 5 or 95. They can do it. We can do it. And I'm not saying it's easy, because our old habits are pretty deep in the groove. However, it is simple and it's doable with practice.
Well, I have two comments to make here. One
mm-hmm.
has to do with genes and genetic
yeah.
expression.
Yeah.
We always thought that you have certain genes and you're just predestined to have whatever it is, an illness, an ailment, or a strength. But
yeah.
it turns out that there's such a thing as gene expression, and depending upon the way we think and feel and handle our lives, some genes may never actually express.
Right.
Even though we have a predisposition toward a certain disease, it may never come to pass. And that has to do with our emotional well-being and thinking process.
That is so on target. Can you say an example of how you've found that to be true, either for you or for one of your clients, that gene expression? I know you're asking me the questions, but I couldn't resist.
Right. That's a very good question, because I think it has, like, an example is arthritis getting really, really bad, or doing all kinds of things to limber up your body and to keep your emotions really calm so that it doesn't progress into something worse. That's the first example I can think of.
Yeah.
And I haven't really thought of examples. I've just heard it said, and it has amazed me.
Well, you know, when you gave that, go ahead.
And along those lines, I was going to ask you about, you talked about rewiring the brain. So how do we do that?
Well, you know, I wanted to back up to give an example I just thought of when you were thinking yesterday. I had a coach client, someone I'm coaching by phone, who's in a very large organization, and the CEO in the organization has been changed 5 times since he has been there 7 years. And he said yesterday, you know, Millie, I feel like I'm on the front seat in the roller coaster. However, now I've learned I'm not crazy. I'm staying calm in the front seat. I'm really using the tools. The ride is like up and down and crazy, and I'm keeping my balance. So he could have easily gone to the, I'm lost in the chaos, you know, but he has shifted, and he's really keeping his balance.
I think you just hit upon something.
Yeah.
The word balance, because our body has to keep getting into a state of homeostasis and balance.
Yep.
But it doesn't stay that way. When I studied the Alexander technique, you're not remaining in that position, stuck, this beautiful lengthened position in your body. It moves.
No.
You get out of the position. Just as an airplane is always off course or a boat is always off course.
Yep, yep.
Our bodies and our brains also get off balance, and we have to bring it back to balance.
You got it. That Jon Kabat-Zinn quote, you can't stop the waves, but you can learn to surf. And that's what,
so
I mean,
important.
Every instant there's something new. And how do we respond? Yeah.
Ah, so you also say that old dogs can learn new tricks.
Absolutely.
Have you had evidence of that?
Well, I'm an old dog. Are you, Eric?
Everything's relative. Age is relative.
Yeah, we've been around, and I keep learning something new every day. And even when I'm with people in their 80s and 90s and give them this new research, I can see their eyes light up. It's
mm-hmm.
just like, oh, yeah, I can keep shifting, changing. My mother-in-law, who's no longer with us, for her 89th birthday, do you know what she wanted for her present? A web TV, which I didn't even know about. But she said, oh, yeah, all the people around here have it. It's just a computer you hook up to your television, and I want to send emails to my grandchildren. And that's what
she got
and learned how to do it, you know?
Right, and it gets really scary for people that are older to take these chances. But once you start being in the habit of learning new things all the time, it's not so scary.
Right. It feeds that wiring so it becomes more of an adventure rather
mm-hmm.
than a fear place. Yeah.
I wanted to just make another comment about building the positive way of thinking and getting rid of the worry or anxiety or whatever the negative side is. And habit patterns take at least 28 to 30 days to develop, just to basically develop, and then it can take months or years to make it become a real deep-seated habit.
Yes, yeah. And in a way, it's like common sense. Like if you played tennis and you always serve a particular way, your body is used to doing that. And if you
right.
want to develop a new serve, you may begin doing it, but it doesn't change it overnight, right?
It right, really, no.
It does take practice.
And your tendency would be to go back to the old serve, especially in a stressful situation.
Exactly.
In a competition against somebody that you think is stronger than you.
Yep.
You're going to tend to go back to what's comfortable.
Yeah, you got it. In relationships.
But if you keep on practicing it and studying it, eventually you start using the new way.
You reap the benefits gradually. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, you've injured your foot, and I injured my hand once, and I had to learn how to brush my teeth with my other hand. It wasn't easy, you know, but it was
right.
possible. Yeah.
Your body reorganizes. You find a
yep.
way to do something.
To adapt.
I'm always amazed by the people that are totally paralyzed or don't have arms and legs that do so much in the world.
You got it. Yeah.
Anyway, Millie, you and I are baby boomers, and you work with a lot of baby boomers. So can you give some suggestions for some good ways for baby boomers and anyone in the aging process to enjoy and appreciate and enjoy their days?
You know, one of the things that I've begun doing, and it's a lot of things that I've learned from other people. It's not that I'm the originator of these ideas. But I used to have a hard time going to sleep at night because I was so worried about all the things that I hadn't done, hadn't accomplished, et cetera. What I do now and encourage people to do is to take just a couple of minutes before you go to bed and write down three things that you're grateful for or that you feel good about that happened that day. And it really, like, changes the whole mood of going to sleep. And then in the morning,
I can say it is so much easier to remember one negative thing that happened in a day and forget
Absolutely.
The 20 really good things.
Absolutely. I think I started doing this in Sirius. One of my clients who was a banker felt he had terrible sleep patterns. And I asked him what he did when he got home from work, and he gave me this whole routine. He didn't get home till 8 o'clock, and he ate a rushed supper, and then he watched the news for an hour and a half.
Uh-huh.
And he thought he would sleep, you know. I said, Tony, you know, the news will be there in the morning when you wake up. So he switched his pattern to giving himself some off time, stretching his body, shaking out some of the things that happened during the day, and writing down this simple three things that he was glad about. And his sleep began to be better, and he was more efficient at work, you know. So I think that can work for all of us. And taking time. Go ahead.
I think that's wonderful to think of three things that you appreciate and are grateful for in your day.
Yeah, yeah. Give that the headline instead of the rotten things, you know?
I would like the newspapers to have more positive headlines, too.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't
I remember a local newspaper in Westport, Connecticut, where the main headline was that a little animal, I think it was a cat, was caught somewhere, and the fire department helped rescue the cat.
Yeah, yeah. And that's
uplifting and cheerful.
Uplifting, yeah, right. I was thinking in my OASIS training program, that's some of the things that we do, really not being unrealistic about all the things that are going on, but how can you get the big picture and focus on things that help me and the whole world move forward rather than stuck in all the craziness and violence that's around us.
It is so easy to get stuck in it, to watch it and worry and, you know, and back away from all of your neighbors and not be friendly and to be irritated, even while driving.
Yes.
So
yes.
I was thinking about your OASIS strategies. You say that they take only 60 seconds.
That's true.
Can that really make a difference?
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
How could I use that? And maybe you could give some kind of example.
Well, remember how a couple of minutes ago we were talking about how this morning both of us were really had so many things to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
if I get that that's the emotional channel I'm on, the first thing is to be aware, you know,
mm-hmm.
oh, wow, I'm really in this channel, getting it, and then noticing, oh, what can I do about it? I might need to take some practical action right then to make a decision and do it. And I might simply want to change the channel to, oh, yeah, I'm alive. And I have, how wonderful that I have invitations to do three things. And that takes less than 60 seconds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And there are three more key 60-second strategies that I talk about in the book and in the CD, but they're all, in a way, they're basic common sense that have been around for a while, and it's simply stop and do it. If you have road rage.
It might be common sense, but very often we have to be reminded.
Yes.
Because we're on a track, and like if I'm driving, how could I use that? If I'm driving, stuck in traffic, or somebody cut me off?
Good question. One of my clients who knew that he had road rage, he began
mm-hmm.
doing one of the strategies that I call the 3BC, which is the three-breath countdown. First
mm-hmm.
of all, it took him a while to notice what triggered his rage. He was just so used to being enveloped in the rage that he didn't know
right.
what set him off. But
mm-hmm.
when he began to be aware of it, he thought, oh, I'm on the rage channel. And I said, keep one hand on your steering wheel and put the other hand on your belly and exhale. Just blow out the rage.
Oh.
And if nature abhors a vacuum, so fresh air can come in. Second, exhale, blow out the stinky stuff. Let the fresh come in. And the third breath, another. And very gradually he began to do that. The first time he did it twice in 1 week, right? Which was major for him. But
right.
now he's doing it, and it's made a difference in not only his road rage, but how he's interacting with his wife and his teenage kids. He's
mm-hmm.
just
taking that moment to return to yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And to clear your mind.
Yep, yep. That's it. And pay
the
attention to your body.
Mm-hmm.
If your body will often give you cues, as you know, as we know, about
right.
something that's going on that our mind might not even be conscious of. So if I have a stomach ache or a headache, what's going on right now? Tune into that channel, you know? Rather than take
one
a drink.
More question I have.
Yeah.
You began the Oasis Train the Trainer program.
Right.
So just briefly say what kind of people come to this training or what they do in this program.
Yeah, that's been very exciting for me. I presented Oasis strategies to a group. Originally it was a group of coaches. And they came up to me later and said, we want to know more about this and do it more deeply so that we can pass it on both for ourselves and for our clients. And that was maybe 3 years ago. And since then, we're now in, I think it's the 13th program, and the age range is from 20s up through 80s. Coaches, clinicians, therapists, clergy, IT, harried parents, teachers, anybody, and they
that's
learn.
Exciting.
It's but very exciting.
We're
and
about to end, so
okay.
I need to just thank you so much, Millie, for being on the call today. You've created a truly powerful and such a simple approach to stress management and healthy living in the now. So how can our listeners get a copy of your book, Oasis in the Overwhelm?
They can go right to my website, either go to oasisintheoverwhelm.com or Millie Grenouge, MillieGrenouge.com, and they could order it right from there and find out more about the training. They could also get it from Amazon.com, but I love it when they get it directly from me. And I certainly invite emails, calls, whatever.
Our next radio show, I'll be speaking to Chloe John Paul, author of the book Entering the Age of Elegance. So, Millie, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and tips for easy living right now, right here.
Erica, a real pleasure to do it with you, and thanks for inviting me.
It hung up.